This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven, Joy 94.9's multicultural show with Mark and Hugh. On Driven represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have any comments on the program or would like to ask questions, you can contact us in the following ways. Facebook, On Driven on Joy 94.9, SMS 0427 Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
Today we're talking to Marco, an Aussie of Portuguese descent. Marco has recently had a book published of poetry, which we will be hearing a bit of, and also chatting to him about his life and recent move to Melbourne.
Something for everybody. Weekends on Joy.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark and Hugh. And our guest today is Marco, who has Portuguese descent. Welcome to the show, Marco.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, before we start the show, just tell us, why did you pick that track?
It was a sort of a song that brought back a lot of memories when I was with my previous partner and we broke up and we tried to make it work and it didn't.
It didn't, and you picked this song. This was your song with your ex-partner.
Yeah, it was okay. Sort of a song about running back to him.
Okay.
And who was the singer and what was the song called?
The song was by Jessica Malboy called Running Back.
Uh-huh. Okay, nice song. Bit sad though. The background.
It's a good way to start the show, hey?
I know, never mind.
So let's lighten the load a little bit. And so Marco, tell us a bit about where you're from and just to ease you into it gently. So whereabouts are you from?
I'm born and raised in Sydney.
Yep.
New South Wales. Uh-huh. Portuguese background. My parents both born in Portugal. Moved here when to have me.
Really?
Practically. Yeah.
so your mother came here when she was pregnant, or
yeah. They came over. I think she was about 7 months pregnant, 6 months, okay. 7 months pregnant so with
you,
me. And
so you got a bit of Portugal in you. You were conceived in Portugal.
I was conceived in Portugal. Yes.
So why did your parents come here from Portugal, apart from to have you?
A lot of my family moved here originally, before my parents did.
Oh, okay.
So it was more so my whole family can be together.
Right, right. And how did they settle in? Do you know any of the history of when they first came here?
No, not much of it, no.
What about the language? Do you speak the language?
Yes, my parents don't speak a lot of English. Okay. So I've had to learn it at a very young
age.
What
is the language that you speak in Portugal?
Portuguese.
Portuguese? Okay. Okay. That's a good question. Is it similar to... Is it got a bit of Spanish, similar to Spanish? Or?
No, Spanish, Brazil. Portugal is more like Brazilian language.
Okay.
Than Spanish. Spanish has got... It's a lot faster.
Right. Okay.
So when you were growing up, Portuguese was your first language, I presume?
English was my first language.
Okay.
I had to learn the Portuguese language at a young age.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really communicate with my parents otherwise.
Right. So, yeah. So that's something. Growing up, so your parents would have been talking Portuguese at home. And so, but you still managed to learn English as your first language? Like,
I used to talk to my parents through my sister.
Oh, really?
My sister used to be the translator.
And obviously, she's older than you.
Yes, okay. 5 years. Yeah.
So tell us about your family. Is it a very Catholic family or no religion? Or
my parents are quite, my mother is very religious. My dad doesn't really believe in anything.
See, same hopes, yeah. I take it your dad's going to listen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so it's okay, he doesn't speak English, so he won't understand.
You can say anything you want now.
Did your mother bring you up in her religion then?
My parents, my mum especially, always tried to make me and my sister go to church and practice their beliefs. And
so what religion is your mum?
She's Catholic.
And so you grew up in a Portuguese family. Is that in Sydney, is that different to a traditional Aussie family in any way? Like, can you think of any differences that you...
Besides the food?
Yeah.
Not much different to Portuguese family or to an Aussie family.
When you say the food, what sort of differences?
Just the Portuguese cuisine, usually. My mum's very much into the Portuguese pastries.
Did you learn to cook with her then? Any of those recipes?
You just ate it. I had to use a deep fryer.
You say that your parents don't speak English much, and you just said your father wouldn't understand if he was listening. How do they get by on a day-to-day basis?
They both work for Portuguese communities. Right. So their bosses and friends, they're all Portuguese. And a lot of my family lives in Sydney. A lot of their friends, family, work. It's all Portuguese community.
Have they ever had the desire to actually learn English and get out there in different communities? And
my mum's tried.
Yeah.
But they're just finding it very difficult at the moment to pick up the language. Right. So
how long have they been here?
Since I was born, 26 years now.
26 years. That's a long time.
You just gave your age away, you realise that.
I'm 18.
Your parents have sort of brought you up. Have you got any other siblings and stuff like that?
I've got my sister, yeah.
Just one sister?
So, yeah, she's 5 years older than me.
And so she was born in Portugal, I presume, and came over
with you guys? Yes, born and raised in Portugal and moved over when I was in my mum's tummy.
And how did she find sort of moving over to here? Like, she would have been young, I suppose, but she would have had to learn English as well, I presume, yeah?
She would have only been 5 years old. Yeah. Portuguese was her first language.
Yeah.
But because she was at a young age, she learned the English language as well quite fast.
So how did you learn English? Was that just through your sister or did they send you to school?
English has always been my first language. I picked it up at school.
Yeah.
And things, and talking to my sister and stuff like that. My pronunciations in Portuguese is really all over the place, but I can still speak it fluently. But I learned it at a very young age.
Okay, this is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Marco's story very soon.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and today we're talking to Marco. Marco, just before the break, we were getting a bit of background from you and your family. We just started touching on your sort of school life, and you started school and you were speaking English, and when you went to school, you had to then learn Portuguese. So how did you go about learning that?
Well, my parents enrolled me in a Portuguese school.
Yep.
So I used to do that every weekend.
How easy did you find it?
Portuguese or English?
Portuguese.
Well, we know you still struggle with English, so Portuguese.
It was quite difficult to begin with because English was my first language. So to pick up another language for anyone, it's quite hard. I really didn't have much of a choice because or else I wouldn't have been talking to my parents.
So what I find a bit hard to understand is how for the first 6 years of your life you lived at home with your parents without being able to talk to your parents. Like,
I was a little baby. Yeah. Like,
well, obviously a little baby.
Anything that I needed to tell my parents that I obviously already knew.
Yeah.
Or I just asked my sister.
So even
don't you think that's a bit weird? You have to speak through your sister to translate so your parents understand what you're saying.
Well, English was my first language, so yeah. I didn't know anything else.
Yeah. Why didn't your parents teach you Portuguese?
You don't have to ask them. I'll get them in next week.
Yeah. But they don't speak English. So just one question there then. If your parents don't speak English enough to teach you English, who taught you English?
My sister in school.
Okay.
Did that make life easier then once you could speak English to then communicate with your family better?
Yeah, once I picked up the language. Mm-hmm. The English language and things, and I
so how good is your Portuguese now?
It's pretty good now. Yeah.
Okay. So your parents understand you?
I am.
You don't know because you don't understand them. No, sorry, I'm joking.
Okay, so let's take it back a bit then. So you've gone to school, you've learned a bit of Portuguese. So you're 6, 7 years old. What else was life like back then? Start communicating with your family. And,
as a six-year-old, yeah, life was pretty good.
Yeah. So how was school for you in general? What sort of school did you go to? Were there Portuguese kids in the school, or were you the only Portuguese kid in school?
There was a few Portuguese children around as well. So one of my good friends back in primary school was Portuguese.
Yeah.
And our families got along really well.
So, yeah. Did you, as a child, did you stay within your community, or like your parents do, or did you move out to different communities?
I went out to different communities, yeah. It just so happened that one of my closest friends in primary school was Portuguese.
Okay.
But one of my other friends was Lebanese. Didn't really want to stick in stereotypical sort of Portuguese gatherings.
Yeah.
So I sort of ventured out.
You wanted to get out and about and meet different people.
Yeah.
What about your sister? Was she typically Portuguese orientated, or was she similar to you?
My sister's very much Portuguese.
So did she stick within the community like your parents?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was more Portuguese orientated, Portuguese friends and
right.
Like that, yeah.
So you're the odd one out of the family?
Yeah, obviously. For more reasons than one.
Talking about that, when did you decide that you were a little bit different from the other boys at school? Or most of them, maybe?
I never actually realized in primary school, it was only towards the end of high school that happened.
Right. What made you think about it?
One of my closest friends back in high school, we were talking about it. He came out to me at a young age as well. Like when we first started becoming friends.
Right.
He came out to me and...
So how old would he have been?
Would have been about 17.
So he came out to you, but you didn't actually come out to him, did you?
No. At that point in time, when he came out to me, I didn't know about myself.
Right.
It was only afterwards where we got introduced to each other's families and things like that. And then I actually had a crush on his older sister.
Okay.
For a long time. That's always been the joke amongst our families now. I guess through that crush, me and David became closer.
With him.
Sort of figured, since I can't get his sister, might as well take the brother.
Okay, we'll come back to Marco's story soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Hugh. And our guest today is Marco, who comes from Portuguese family background, and although he didn't speak Portuguese until he went to school. But Marco, before the break, we were talking about a girl you had a crush on. You really ended up having a crush on her brother. Tell me what happened.
Well, it didn't start off that way. He had a very attractive sister.
You were actually attracted to the sister first?
Yes, I was actually attracted to the sister first, but at the time she had a partner, so it sort of made it hard for me to make my move. But she always knew my intentions. And then when I realized that I couldn't have her, I switched my attention to
her brother. Was he gay?
Yeah. He came out to me when we became friends.
Right.
He told me from the start.
And when he came out to you, what was your reaction to that? Did you suspect it?
Everyone knew already when he came out. So it was no surprise to anybody.
Yeah. And at that point, you didn't think, or you had no idea yourself that could be something that you're interested in as well?
No, not at that point. I had no idea.
So how long were you with this guy?
We were friends for about a year or so.
Right.
Into
something happened, though, to the guy. Tell us the story.
The whole thing was David's never been kissed, and he wanted to learn how to.
So you offered your services?
Right. So we started practicing on each other's hands.
Okay.
Just showing him how to do it. Within a few weeks of doing it on the hands, we decided to move things a bit forward and get a bit more life experience.
So you thought the lips were the better idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how the two of you ended up getting together.
Yeah. So we started doing that. And then one thing led to another.
So at that time, You were thinking you were straight, and how did you feel after?
I was always in a denial.
David and whatever, and then suddenly it's like, oh.
Well, I was always in a denial state for a very long time. Even after everything with me and David happened, I sort of blocked it off, blocked it away from my feelings, and I didn't really correspond it in my head properly.
How did he feel? Did he feel a lot different from you? Or?
It sort of made us closer as friends.
Right. Well, it would do.
It's called friends with benefits, isn't it?
But did you ever get an indication of his feelings for you?
No. It was more basic experience for the both of us.
Right.
Like,
right.
He was never been in a relationship or anything. He always knew that he was gay, but he's never kissed anyone or anything. He wanted to try it. Me, on the other hand, I've kissed people before.
Right.
And I sort of had a bit of experience in it. I'm not the best kisser, but I've had the experience there, and that's what he wanted to learn.
So, and during that period, although you were saying earlier offline that David then told his parents and he had issues with that. So tell us a bit about that.
Yes. Parents weren't very happy about David being gay, to the point where when they sort of figured it out in a little way, he got driven to the local church and got asked whether he was gay or not.
In the church?
Yes.
The Catholic church. Yes. Yes.
That he got driven to by his father. And
was the priest involved in this?
No.
No? Okay. No. I'm surprised. So
David literally denied it because he didn't know what his father was going to do.
Mm.
But
and then obviously he still was, and he still, I mean, it didn't really change things at home. And then
no, it didn't. Not long after that, me and David, we decided to move out together, and we moved into a little unit together.
How old were you then?
17.
17.
When we moved out.
Okay. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Marco's story very soon.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Orange Ribbon, and we're continuing our story with Marco. Before that break, we were talking about your awakening of, sort of your sexual experiences. You sort of moved in with David and started to accept that you were gay. Did you do any other experiences? Like, did you start going to gay bars? Because at this time you were in Sydney, yeah, so there's obviously Oxford Street and that sort of thing.
I never actually started going out until later on after all this.
Uh-huh. Is there a reason for that?
I just never wanted to get caught out.
So you start going to a gay bar, people will see you. And,
yeah, yeah.
And that's it, you're up.
Being judged and things like that, as you do when you're not out. So I found it a bit daunting going into a gay pub or anything like that. So I sort of tended to stay away from the whole gay scene and everything like that. So yeah.
And how about your friend? Because obviously he was out. So was he out partying on Oxford Street and trying to drag you along? Or
he was always out there and most of the weekends and all that. And he always tried to get me to go with him. But I just, nah. Too much work.
So how did you meet other people who were gay?
By going out. I had a couple of experiences watching a couple of sports people playing.
So this is at the local tennis park, hey?
Yes. Yeah, it started off all innocent. One thing led to another. After they finished playing, bumped into a couple of them in the toilets.
Oh, okay.
So at that point, you weren't really aware of any gay scene or gay culture?
No, nothing like that. What happened was I just literally had to go to the bathroom. So I went to the public toilets doing what you do in the toilet.
Right. When did you realize that that wasn't the way you wanted to go?
It was that experience that where I came to the realization that I was gay.
Okay. When did you actually start going out into the gay community, the gay scene as they call it?
It wasn't long after that. I was talking to my friend about it. He started taking me out to one of the gay pubs in Newtown.
So really that experience helped you accept who you were and feel more comfortable going out?
Yeah, it did. I already got seen by a few people in public areas, so made it a bit easier.
Right.
What was it like going to the first gay bar that you went to?
Good, really. I realized that all the judgment and people looking at you and judging you and things like that it didn't really happen a lot. When I first walked into the pub, practically all guys there, and we just sat there. No one looked at each other. And
so it wasn't as terrifying as what you thought it would be?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was going to be a lot scarier, but it was actually quite good. And
so when did you decide that you wanted to go that step further and tell people, to tell your friends and family?
A lot of my friends that I made were through that scene.
Right.
So at the time, I didn't really have a lot of friends. Like, I lost communication with a lot of my high school friends that I had, and David was one of the closest people that I had towards me. Mm. So at that point in my life, when I realized there was only literally a handful of people that I knew for a while.
Right.
That,
what about your family?
It was easier for them to come out to.
What about your family?
Soft spot.
So you, with your family, you said off air that really you never really told them.
I've never actually come out to my family or in any sort of way. Throughout the years, they sort of put two and two together. For me, personally, it was more need-to-know basis. I'm gay or not, that my family needed to know. But in other ways, I was always scared about telling my family as well because of the situations that my best friend was in with his family.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of an acceptance thing.
Right. So does anybody know? Who actually knows?
Well, I've never actually told anybody.
No.
But they've figured it out themselves.
But they've all met partners of yours, for example.
Yeah, yeah. My parents just talk to my ex all the time at the shopping centres.
So they bump into him in the shopping centre.
They bump into him and the conversations they talk to about and all that. So they sound like two-year-olds.
Yeah. So they're obviously, to be fair to them, quite accepting of it in the fact that they haven't sort of been negative towards you, even though they...
No, they've never been negative.
They just don't really talk about it.
Yeah, they've never been negative about it. Yeah. They've always been, I guess, open to the idea.
Okay. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Marcus' story very soon.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon with Mark and Hugh, and our guest today is Marco, who comes from a Portuguese background. Now, Marco, you've written a book of poems. Why did you write it?
Well, the book is a relation to me and my ex. We were together for approximately 6.5 years, 7 years. It's a lot of our feelings and communication breakdowns that we used to have, and I've put everything into the book, sort of describes our lives together, and it gives people an understanding of how relationships work and the communication breakdowns throughout a relationship or anything like that, and how to recover from that as well.
Was the reason you wrote these poems, was it to help you get over the relationship?
No, I was actually already writing a lot of the stuff that's in the first book while we were together.
The first book.
This is the first book.
Okay.
Second one's on its way.
Right.
Yeah, I started writing it when we were together. I started off by leaving little notes around the areas, coffee table and stuff like that, where I knew he was going to walk past and actually read it. And then communication started off that way. And we used to talk about it and things like that. We always had a little saying where after we talked about an issue, one of the things that I used to say to him is, "Was that all?" It was just a way of breaking down the whole conversation thing.
Right.
So really, you communicated with your partner through poetry.
Through my poetry,
rather than sort of direct conversation, a lot of it was through that.
Yeah.
So when you're writing at the time, were you expecting it to be published, or was it just a case of...
I never actually wanted to get published or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
It all just came about by I was showing a couple of friends and they said it was pretty good stuff that I was writing. It goes along with everyone, like every other relationship. Yeah. So I decided to send it out to a few people and it's gotten published.
It's published.
So how about you read one of your poems to us now and give the listener a bit of an example of your work?
Well, this one's about being young and communicating. Being young doesn't mean I don't have feelings. I feel in touch like any other. I love and care with my heart. I feel sad and mad. Young or old, we all have feelings. How one shows their feelings is for them to express in their own way. I chose to express my feelings by saying three little words, I love you.
Oh, very nice. So this was written for your boyfriend?
This was written for Joe, yes.
While you were with him?
While I was with him.
Right. And how did he respond?
a lot of affection, I'll put it that way.
Did he appreciate what you were doing?
Yeah, he really appreciated the little notes that I used to leave around for him and little, yeah.
So what does he think about it being put into a book for everyone to read now?
I did talk to him about it after. So he really didn't have a say in it.
Uh-huh. You mean after you broke up?
No, after
the book got published. But it was, he read through it and he was okay with the whole the book being published and most of our lives being spread out through the book. So he was actually pretty good about it.
So what's the book called?
The book's called Poems from the Heart by Marco Costa.
Marco Costa.
Can you actually buy this at the moment? Or?
Yes, there is a couple of gay bookshops in Melbourne where it's available.
Okay.
And also in Sydney as well.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you've went interstate. Multi-city.
So I'm going interstate.
Wow, that's great.
And we'll put a link on our Facebook to give the details of the book.
Do you have a website?
We'll find it later.
Oh, okay, we'll put that on.
It'll be on Joy FM.
Joy 94.9, please.
Cool. So this is your first book, and you were saying that you've got another one coming soon.
Yes, I've just recently finished my second book, so that should due to release in about 3 weeks.
And what's the subject of that book?
The subject for the second book is my life as a single person.
So was that done after the breakup?
Yes.
Okay. That'd be interesting to read as well, I think. I must get a copy of these two books. Okay, this is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Marco's story very soon.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Orange Ribbon. So, Marco, before that break, we were just talking about the two books that you've had, or the one book you've had published and the one that you're about to have published. For other budding authors out there, give us a bit of a background about how you went from some notes and some diaries to actually getting a book published.
It was quite a long process through the whole thing. I started emailing a lot of agencies that I searched for online, and I got a lot of rejections back. A lot of rejections. And then through one agency that emailed me back, they sent me a link to this publisher, and I sent him my copy, and they literally liked what they read and wanted to proceed with the publishing. So after I sent them the rest of the book to them, they followed it up with their own editors and everything, sent me a couple of drafts, copies where I went through them and just corrected a few things and sent it back to them. And within a couple of weeks after the initial me viewing it, it started getting released into the public.
Wonderful. What gave you the idea to write poetry?
My sister, actually, back at high school, when she was in high school, she used to have these diaries around the house, and she used to get her friends to write poetry and stuff like that into it, and she used to do the same thing. And me being a little brat, I used to go through her diary and read and things like that. And a lot of the stuff that her friends and herself have written in, they were pretty good. So I just started mimicking her, really.
Okay.
And it just turned out to be my sort of my form. I just changed it around.
Into the way you wanted to write.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she did it for fun. I put emotion into it.
Read another poem for us. There's one that you want to read us.
Well, this poem now is literally about what we were just talking about through this whole process. It goes like this. As time goes on, you remember the past and remember the good. But as time goes on, you start new dreams and start again. Believe in yourself and what you can do. And smile again.
Oh, very nice.
Short and sweet.
Very short and sweet, but very nice. And that was, again, for your ex-partner?
Yes, that was sort of in progression to on the breakup sort of thing.
Okay.
To start again, start from fresh, yeah.
So basically you used all this poetry just to vent your own feelings, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. That the book's got a lot of emotion in it, and it's something that every person can relate to.
Mm.
And how do you feel about everyone being able to read your emotions now? I mean, emotions tend to be quite a private thing, and to put them out there to the public is...
That's why I put it in a book and not on television.
But most people won't realise what you're talking about, really, will they? They won't realise it's you're talking about your ex.
No, they won't. They'll know that it's about a relationship, but whether it's a same-sex relationship or a straight relationship, No one
will really know.
Well, actually, that's
it.
Good,
can actually incorporate the whole both relationship, both sort of.
Do any of the poems relate to homosexuality in there, or is it sort of agnostic?
No, they don't relate to a basic gay poetry or anything like that. To a basic gay couple,
yeah,
it's more multicultural.
Okay. Unfortunately.
Perfect. That's a good way to end.
Unfortunately, Marco, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you very much for coming on today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing along your poems. It's been wonderful listening to them, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy reading your poetry.
And we've got an email address that the listener can email into if they want to contact Marco and find out more about the book writing. It's info@trenwickhouse.com.au. That's TrenwickHouse.
Okay. Thank you, Marco.
Thank you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.